people too. I mess around. They're doing the mess around. Hi, everybody. Octopus Caveman here.
This is Peter.
In this episode, we're talking about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987, a personal favorite of mine.
It's a lot of fun.
It's great. This is a John Hughes movie. Stars Steve Martin, John Candy, the wonderful Dylan Baker as Owen.
Amazing.
I love him in Delirious, and he's great in this.
I don't remember him. I can't wait to see it again.
He's the dude who they give him the meds and his hair starts falling out. And
I remember that now. Okay.
He's wonderful in that. Matthew Lawrence is in this. So yeah. He's in this and Mrs. Doubtfire, two classic family films.
Yeah.
We've got Edie McClurg as the rental car lady. She's great. She was the principal secretary in Ferris Bueller and a few other things. Michael McKean is in this as a highway patrolman. The great Larry Hankin as Doobie.
Yeah.
Gary Riley as the thief in the motel. He's okay. Dave. From Summer School.
From the great Summer School.
I love Summer School.
There's so many cameos of just people. You're like, oh, that guy, he does great things. But
there's don't recognize. The kind of go-to John Hughes guys, too. He tends to use the same guys, like Ferris Bueller's dad and a few others. I'm really glad that Jeffrey Jones isn't in this.
Okay.
He's the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, no, he's been spoiled because of his history.
Yeah. It's just him and Jared are probably sharing a cell someplace.
Waiting for Cosby.
Yeah. So the beginning starts with a really boring meeting with Ferris Bueller's dad and Neil, played by Steve Martin. And then they go to get out of there and...
A minute and 24 seconds of silence.
Is it?
Not silence, but you know, nobody's speaking. It's just breathing and moving.
It's almost Castaway levels of silence.
Yeah, it's a good obnoxious scene of just way too much quiet and...
It is good. And the guy pretending to talk or doing the, like, about to talk thing. And then, you know, it's a fun scene.
Yeah, while Neil's there trying to say, I've got to leave.
Right.
Showing his ticket for 6 o'clock.
And so the meeting's over and Ferris Bueller's dad is like, why don't you take the 8 with us? You know, like, you'll never make the 6. And I'm always curious, does he get out on the 8? Do you think he makes it?
Probably.
Does he make it home?
Probably.
Huh. I mean, Chicago was closed regardless, right?
It was closed by the time the 6 was supposed to land, so it might have reopened by the 8, 2 hours later.
Or he was just stranded in New York.
Or redirected to a different airport instead of somewhere way out of the way.
Wichita.
Yeah. I love how he's just like, you're not going to make it. He's not in a rush.
You'll never make the 6. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great line as the door is closing on the elevator.
So then he goes out and he braces Kevin Bacon for a cab. And this is a weird scene for me because Kevin Bacon, the actor, exists in the Hughes-niverse. Because in this movie, Neil's wife is watching She's Having a Baby.
Right.
So that means that Neil raced the real Kevin Bacon for a cab.
Well, it could be like a Last Action Hero type of situation.
Right.
Where it's somebody else playing the role.
So...
Like in Last Action Hero, Stallone played Terminator.
Oh, you're right. But it sounds like Kevin Bacon. So I always like to picture this is Kevin Bacon as Kevin Bacon.
That's a great way to picture it because it's a lot of fun with the whole
him being a dick and saluting him and stuff. That's great. So he trips over Dell's trunk.
A trunk, as far as we know so far.
Right.
But a very obvious trunk that stands out.
Yeah.
Very unique.
Kevin gets the cab and gives him the little salute.
Yeah.
And then he goes to buy a cab from that
Pays off a guy. He tries to get a cab for $50 from a guy, and the guy's like, well, somebody who's going to pay $50 for a cab is going to pay $75 for a cab.
And the guy looks like he's related to Daniel Craig.
Yeah, kind of.
He looks like if you'd, like, squeezed Daniel Craig's head in a vice and made him more oblong.
Yeah, he's also a stereotypical New York attorney kind of guy.
Sort of. His accent is weird, though. It's you can't tell if it's British or just, like, pompous. Like the way Madonna is British, where she just sounds pompous.
I've never noticed. While they're making the deal, Neil pays the guy. Yeah. Dell happens to climb into the cab. And we can tell because we see the trunk going. The cab takes off.
He opens the door, though, and sees Dell scared in
the cab takes off, and Neil chases it for, like, 4 blocks.
Yeah.
And that's when we actually get to see them interact finally. He opens the door and scares the hell out of Dell, and they scream, and the cab takes off again.
So he takes a bus to the airport. His flight's been delayed. And then we cut back to him. He calls. His family is eating dinner.
Well, he's running for the flight with 2 minutes to spare. Walking into, or running into the airport. Like, he's walking into the doors. And he sees there's 2 minutes there. Okay, first there's the TSA. Then there's check-in.
There's none of that back then.
I know. But still. 2 minutes to spare. Not going to happen. But yeah. The flight gets delayed as he arrives.
Yeah, it's almost a blessing for him.
Kind of, but 2 minutes to spare and then it delays. It's kind of a little too coincidental, but
right.
Everything goes wrong for him, so it kind of fits. And yeah, you get the family dinner.
Yeah, and
Matthew Lawrence
Little is there. Neil is talking about how he wants noogies instead of Indian burns. This family member sounds like a monster.
Yeah, that's weird.
He gives, like, the little girl Indian, or he gives the little girl noogies, and the little boy gets Indian burns. It just seems like this guy's, like, terrible. This is abuse. There's some abuse happening in the Page family Thanksgiving household.
Well, we all know somebody like that.
Yeah, I hate him.
Yep. Okay, the phone rings, and the kid just, the daughter just knows that it's the flight's being delayed.
Right. And, you know, he tells her he shouldn't be later than 10, and then we have him at the airport, and John Candy's reading The Canadian Mounted.
Yes, an awesome-looking book that I can't seem to find.
I've tried to Google for it in the past, too. I don't think it's real. I think it was a prop for the movie.
It could be, but the way romance novels work, they burn through them so fast, and they just destroy any leftovers. So, unless it's from a personal collection, those leftovers don't exist.
Yeah,
so old romance novels, you'll never find unless they're a collectible and somebody's
collecting. But that would have become a collectible.
Maybe, unless it was already old.
Even then, there was that one copy. There had to be a few other copies floating around. Anybody who had one would have been like, oh, this is that one. I got to save it. I think it's fake because there would be
absolutely no evidence of
it. Yeah, there would be a couple of copies floating around. Or there would have been mentions of it because a couple would have existed. And they would have been like, oh, this book written by this person, right. You know.
Okay, so coincidentally, he's sitting directly across from Dell.
Yeah, and this is the
Dell recognizes him.
I knew you.
Yeah. And he says, you stole my cab. Oh, I've never stolen anything.
This is another brilliant little device in this movie, these little clip moments. So I love the fact that they got John Candy back into the suit for the parka and everything and brought in a taxi cab door just to do that. Boom, that's where I know this guy from scene, you know? There's a lot of stuff where this movie is brilliant at showing exactly what Neil is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of them where it's him just scared behind the taxi door, like, oh, it's that guy.
Neil getting on the plane, arguing with the stewardess right away.
Yeah, he gets bumped to coach. Neil's the worst. I hate Neil.
He is not a nice guy.
No.
So he's arguing, and he's like, I have a first-class ticket, but you have a coach seat assignment.
Right.
The stewardess isn't that nice either. Neil doesn't have to immediately be a jerk to everybody.
And he is, and I get it, he's having a bad day, but he's the worst.
But the stewardess is kind of really rude because somebody else, oh, hey, how you doing? And just hugs and kisses.
Yeah, another pilot.
Was he a pilot?
I think so. He worked for the airline. He was either a pilot
He had a seat in first class.
Yeah, I think he was a pilot. And that's why it's so frustrating because he gets bumped so that a pilot can hop on in his first class
seat. There you go. That kind of explains the, okay, makes a lot of sense.
So he gets sat next to Dell.
And they make their introductions. Neil very reluctantly.
And then you have the scene where all the flights are canceling and the bad weather in Chicago kind of thing. And then it cuts back and they're talking about their jobs. Right there, they get sat next to each other and then it just cuts to a scene of flights canceling and bad weather in Chicago. And then it cuts back and they're talking about their jobs together.
Okay. And Neil gets a little impatient and says, listen, I don't want to be rude, but I kind of want to just relax.
Yeah.
And Dell says, the last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth.
Yeah, I love that.
And then he just keeps going.
And then we have the whole my dogs are barking, and he's taking off his shoes and, like, pulling off his socks.
And waving it around.
Yeah, his weird foot constriction carries through the movie. Like, if you notice later when he's wearing his, like, boots, untied completely.
Yeah.
Like, Dell's got a weird thing about his feet.
Well, he walks a lot.
Yeah.
He has a bad back, and he's carrying around this trunk all the time.
Yeah.
He's a traveling salesman. It's a lot of things that just match the character.
Yeah, there's just a lot of smart little stuff in there.
And they're really consistent about it. This character is consistent. Dell's kind of a jerk, but not, I don't think it's on purpose at all. I think he's just a little oblivious.
Yeah, he's almost like a friendly guy with Asperger's.
Yes. But I think it's explained in the end. He's just oblivious to some social situations because of where his life has been moving.
Right. So they ended up landing in Wichita.
I have heard that the guy sitting in the other seat, the Neil's old man. Other side,
yeah,
the old man is like a poor man's Wilford Brimley. He's been in a lot of things, but he just is, kind of.
So yeah, they end up in Wichita, Kansas, and they're sort of stuck there. Neil goes and calls his family.
Well, Neil, with the old guy snoring on his shoulder, looks over at Dell, leaning on him, snoring on his other shoulder. Dell all of a sudden opens his eyes and says, $6 in my left nut says we're not landing in Chicago. And that's just a weird, creepy scene, and then you get them landing.
Knowing that we know at the end of the film, why was Dell even going to Chicago?
Clients there?
Maybe. So, when they're stuck in when they're in Wichita, Neil goes to call his family, and Dell's kind of basically saying, you're stuck there, you know?
Yeah, tries to comfort him, says you should get a room, because we're not getting out of here.
Right.
The next thing we see there, Ben Stein is telling them their flight was canceled.
Yeah, and he's trying to get a room, there's nothing left, and then he runs into Dell, and he's like, you know, well, you called your wife, I called the Braidwood Inn.
The previous scene, Dell says, we'd have more luck playing pick-up six with our butt cheeks than getting a flight out of here.
Right. So, Neil decides to take a cab with him to go to the Braidwood Inn. They end up taking Doobie's Taxiola.
Yeah, Dell was nice and offered him a chance to get a room at this place because he knows the owner. If you pay for the cab, I'll get you a room.
I love that Doobie's Taxiola is completely filled with pornography.
Yeah. It's just little cuttings from porn magazines.
Yeah.
He's even got little plastic boobs on the dashboard.
And this scene plays on TV when they play this movie. So they're at the check-in for the Braidwood Inn. Their credit cards get swapped.
Yeah, the guy swaps their Diners Club cards because they're identical.
Yeah.
And I don't think he even did it. I think Neil just picked up the first card he put in front of him.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And it was just a mistake. It's a beat-up, rundown motel. I like that Dell introduces Neil to the guy. And the guy says, glad to meet you, Nick.
Yeah. So then we have Neil taking a shower.
Well, they walk in and they see that they're sharing a queen bed. And Dell says, want to take a shower? And they got to do that macho, distracting conversation.
Right. There's a lot of gay fright in this.
And then Neil taking a shower.
Yeah, and then cut back to Dell chilling on the vibrating bed and smoking and drinking a beer.
Yeah, I like that he's just sitting there hanging out with his picture of his wife. And Neil's just hanging out in the shower. He looks up and takes a look at the shower rings. Just tell him the story.
When he gets out of the shower, the bathroom is trashed. Was it trashed before he went in there?
Absolutely. It's not like after that macho scene, he wouldn't have gone in the shower while Dell was still getting out.
So why was he all shocked?
Because he is not perceptive at all. He proves it through the entire movie.
Also a germaphobe. You would have think he would have walked in and noticed that right away and been like, oh, God, this is gross.
Yeah, I don't know. He's so imperceptive. It's like Dell and his oblivious to social situations. Neil is oblivious to anything until he needs it that moment. So he walks
in, ignores
that there's only a washcloth, and the bathroom's wrecked.
He would have noticed that it was wrecked, though. This is one of the flaws in the movie for me. Because he's a germaphobe, he would have noticed that right away. And been like, I'm going to the front desk to get like 12 towels. I'm going to lay them all out, you know?
He should have noticed something, and it was an unfortunate scene.
Yeah, it's just always bothered me. Anyway, they get out and they're in bed together. And you can hear cans in the bed. And they mention, Neil mentions that the beers exploded because Dell had them on a vibrating bed. But when they move the cans out of the bed, you can hear aluminum cans when they're rustling around in the bed.
I don't think I would have been able to sleep on that bed if they hadn't.
Yeah.
The food that you see when they wake up, I mean, I couldn't have slept on that bed.
Yeah, I'd be
on
the floor. Get it.
But it's just showing that Dell is a little sloppy.
Yeah.
And doesn't care about that type of stuff.
Anyway, they say they're going to turn in, and I love Dell reading by the cigarette lighter light. Like, how long is that going to last, dude?
Till it hurts.
Yeah. And then we cut to Neil's wife watching She's Having a Baby.
Yeah, just a very obvious quotable that is obviously She's Having a Baby.
Yeah, and then cut back to Dell doing the
ungodly noises.
He's making the sound that you make when the back of your throat itches.
Yeah, it's unfortunate and it's weird, and he should have been doing that before they went to bed. not after they turned off the light and said goodnight.
Right.
But it's just more of the oblivious to social situations.
Isn't it kind of creepy he's reading a romance novel by lighter light in bed with another man?
He just wants to get through his book.
Yeah, but have you read those? Like,
I've read pieces of romance novels and they're not good.
I mean, it's not Penthouse Forum, but it's close.
Not that close.
I'd be creeped out if you were sitting there, like, reading Fifty Shades of Grey in bed next to me. I'd be like, dude.
I don't know enough about that. I know it's supposed to be sexy for women, but I don't know.
Yeah. It was a big hit in jail. That book was in high demand. It was like, hey, man, gonna borrow that tonight?
Wow.
Yep. Good times. So, anyway, Neil loses it at the clearing the throat. And he gets up, and we have the weird fight scene. And then,
They go pretty far with their fight, just being really insulting.
Yeah, and it's funny. And
then Neil goes over the top.
Yeah.
And then Del responds with
that heartwarming John Candy speech.
Yes, it's just,
it's okay, I'm an easy target, and I like me. My wife likes me.
Yeah, it's just a classic, just, you cannot like me, it's okay. But I'm okay with myself.
Yeah, it's great. And he lays down in bed, and then Neil feels like a jerk, and he just goes back to bed with him. Yeah. If I was Del, I would have been like, go, dude, get out of here. But, like, Del's a good dude, and he just, I guess he lets it go.
Yeah, and they just quietly go to bed, finally.
And then we have Dave. Not Dave. Gary Riley, but I know him forever as Dave, because I'm just...
From Dave and Chainsaw.
Yeah. He breaks in and steals money from their wallet, which is a bold break-in.
Yeah, and the whole breaking in with the knife and the lock just going.
Yeah.
A little overdone with
the... Yeah, it's a Braidwood Inn. They need a re-key.
Yeah, but that wasn't turning the key. So, yeah, they don't have cash and they don't know right away.
And then the next morning we have the...
You start with the pigs outside.
Yeah.
And then it goes to panning across the bed from Del's side, the filthy room, and you get Del... cuddling with, spooning with Neil.
I don't know if you noticed this, but on the wall on either side of the painting are handprints.
I didn't.
Above the bed.
I didn't. Wow.
It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. They're spooning. Neil's the little spoon.
Yeah, Del gives him a little kiss on the ear. It's bizarre.
It is, but it's just...
I mean, spoiler alert, his wife has been dead for 8 years. How often does... This can't be, like, habit anymore.
You never know. Some people... Maybe he does it to pillows. You know?
Or he makes a habit of, like, traveling with strange men.
You never know.
Ugh. Prequel time? He's a lonely dude. Oh, man. The prequel to this would be so dark.
Just watching him break down and turn into who he is at the start of this movie?
Yeah. He's all, like, slim and fit. So, anyway, okay. The classic, those aren't pillows.
Well, yeah. Goes down. Neil says, wakes up to the kiss and says, why did you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? It's between two pillows.
Is it his thighs?
It's got to be his thighs.
Right. Because not talking butt cheeks.
No.
Right.
Because that's he's got something on. It has to be thighs.
Well, he's got boxers on. So, I mean, I don't know.
It has to be thighs.
And could be in between the fabric. And
that makes more sense.
Yeah. That's not that gay.
And then, did you see that Bears game? Just the macho, I gotta say something sports.
Right, it's just like Friends when, like, you know, Joey and Ross take a nap together and they're all scared that it might make them gay. It's that era.
Is that what happened in that episode?
Yeah,
sort of. I didn't think they were afraid of being gay. I thought they were afraid of being noticed.
Towards the end, but in the beginning, it's kind of a similar reaction. Like, oh, what did we do? And, like, and then
friends.
They like it, and then they're trying to, you know, Ross is trying to convince Joey to do it again.
Okay, and this episode of Popcorn with Friends is over?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. This is where I have Neil's not perceptive at all, because he goes into the bathroom to wash his face and brush his teeth, and he's washing his face, and then he smells his hands and realizes he's washing his face with dirty sock water.
Right, and then dries his hands and face with underwear?
Yeah, Neil is not perceptive at all.
He saw that stuff the night before, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. What was Del's plan for drying his socks?
The hairdryer?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. That seems like a weird move to me.
It definitely is, but...
Does Del only have one pair of socks?
I don't know. Neil only has one pair of underwear.
Right. Breakfast. So they're at that cool diner.
Neil tells his wife that he shared a room, and she's like, you're weird.
Yeah, he's just kinda, shared a room with a strange man.
Yeah, so they're having breakfast at the diner, and they're talking about what they've got. They find out they don't have cash.
Yeah, Neil goes to pay and calls Del a thief. And he checks Del's wallet, and all the money's gone.
Yeah, he says he's got a Visa and a gas card. but he doesn't mention the Diners Club.
Right.
And they both happen to have Diners Club cards.
Neither one of them bring it up. What, are they ashamed of being Diners Club members?
And so apparently Del works out a deal with somebody to get him to a train station.
Yeah, his buddy's son is going to come pick him up to take him to the train station. Then we have the wonderful, wonderful Dylan Baker as Owen.
The delivery of this performance was just incredible. I want to know how this character developed.
This guy is a wonderful actor, and he really, like, I don't think he gets the credit he's due. He's so good in everything I see him in.
Like, this character developed into something that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, people exactly like that exist.
I know this guy. Like, I've encountered this guy, and I don't like this guy.
But it's incredible.
He's marvelous in this. So anyway, Owen comes out and he has his pregnant wife load up their gear in the back.
Yeah, he yells at her. Hey, get off your lazy butt and get that in the back.
She's short, but she's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does he say? The last baby come out sideways.
She didn't even scream or nothing.
It's so wonderful. Just a great character.
And the guys are just uncomfortable, like, no, we got it.
Just phenomenal. He really, like, almost seals this movie for me, and he's barely in it. It's
30 seconds.
People train run out of Stubville.
Yeah. Just,
every line is so great.
So they're in the back of the truck talking about how Stubbsville is about maybe 30 miles farther. Maybe 40, 45.
I love the angry dog.
Yeah, he reaches for some gloves he sees.
Yeah. Because
Neil left his gloves in the office.
Right, so his hands are always freezing.
So he goes, reaches for the gloves in the back of the truck, and it wakes up the dog, and it just snaps at him. And then they reach Stubbsville.
And they just hop on the train for a minute.
But we've got the great frozen faces scene.
Yes, yeah.
You've got Del frozen, you got Neil frozen a little worse, and then you get the dog in the growling pose. I love the thing.
Every time it's a little cold anywhere in the world, that shows up on Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like that it says, they're talking about how cold do you think it is as they're pulling in? I don't know, maybe one.
We used to call it posting a donut when it was zero in Utah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, it's a zero. It looks like a donut.
That's still weird.
Okay. So the train breaks down.
Well, Neil tries to pull the whole they didn't have two seats together thing, because he probably talked the ticket person into getting him two separate tickets.
Right.
On two separate cars, apparently. And so they get on the train and they say their goodbyes. And I think Neil says, oh, the ticket's a gift. And then Neil creeps out the kid next to him.
Yeah, it's a weird scene. They could have cut that.
And the train breaks down.
And I love the blues music. The music throughout this movie is phenomenal, but that bummer, like, wah, 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 that music is great.
The music does a great job with emotion. I was a little bothered with how maybe low budget it might have been.
I kind of think it gives a character. It's kind of that weird synthy.
MIDI to me.
Yeah, it's probably MIDI, which was, you know, cutting edge.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, they got to drag their stuff out, and Neil sees Dale dragging his trunk by himself, so he decides to help.
Dale's ahead a while, and he looks back at Neil just looking at him, and he just looks a little sad and keeps going. And Neil finally does something nice for a change. He's finally not a jerk.
That's like the first nice thing he does in the whole movie.
Yeah, he's actually kind, and he goes and picks up the other end of the trunk.
Then we have them at the bus station with the confounding mouse man.
Yeah, a guy with a little...
He looks like an old prospector from his, like, get-up. Yeah. And he's got two boxes, one of them with, like, mice in it with a hole. And they're just crawling all over him.
I only saw the two on his knee.
Yeah, but still, they're just... And he's just oblivious, staring off into the distance. Yeah. He looks like
Did
one of those...
Did the mice chew their way out and he doesn't notice?
I don't know, maybe. He looks like a prop from... the old West town at Knott's Berry Farm. And then the bus ride. The bus ride sing-along.
And, well, before the sing-along...
Yeah, they're watching that couple make out.
Every bus anybody's ever been on.
Right. There's a guy in the military.
A kid running around being annoying.
Yeah. Stillwell.
Stillwell, exactly. Yeah,
from A League of Their Own.
You're gonna lose. But running into everybody.
We're gonna win!
Just the obnoxious kid, the obnoxious couple, a dude oblivious to everything in the military, and just... And then the sing-along, which is weird.
Yeah, Neil, I got a song, 3 coins in a fountain. I don't know that song.
Never heard of it.
You know who knows that song? Our dad.
Ah.
So great. I was
he
like,
does?
Yeah, I mentioned it to him, like, what a weird song. He just sings this, like, and he was like, oh, you don't know that song? And he just started singing it.
He knows every song. It's obnoxious.
Well, I mean, he is Neil.
Yeah.
He's a more fun version of Neil.
And then the couple making out, Dell's face was just complete joy.
Yeah.
He was like, this is awesome. Look at those guys.
And then even more joyous when Neil gets busted.
So they get off the bus and Dell is swindling people.
Yeah, he's selling shower curtain rings as Czechoslovakian ivory and
something filled with helium and earrings.
Yeah, they're filled with helium to make them very light. He says it's an autographed Daryl strawberry, and that one is the one that bothers me.
There's another autographed one before that.
There's not a single autograph on it. Did he sign them? Sign the prop. I have a feeling they just had him improvise a bunch of stuff, and they just threw that in like, oh, that's funny. But to me, it just doesn't work. And then we have their breakup dinner.
The breakup dinner.
Yeah, they're eating dinner together after that, and they split up the money. And
they argue, and Dale says he wants to keep half the money.
Yeah, you know, when we put our heads... Yeah, so this is the, if we put our heads together, we really don't get anywhere or whatever.
Yeah. Before that, Dell admits that he hasn't been home in years, just an offhand comment.
Yeah.
And that's one that we hear ringing back later on. After the argument, Dell tries to give Neil half the money because he
turns
just
into a real baby.
Yeah, maybe.
It's fine, it's fine. Like, yeah.
They say goodbye again, and they're very hostile.
Then the car rental scene.
Yeah, a bus drops Neil off at a car rental lot near an airport, I guess. Kind of near an airport. And just takes off. Neil walks up to the parking spot where it's supposed to be.
He rented a car at the airport. This shuttled him to where his car would be. The car is not there.
He runs to try to catch the bus and can't.
Yeah.
And then he has this great freakout scene where he throws everything on the ground, throws the ticket up in the air, and then he starts walking back.
Yeah, taking weird shortcuts and...
Yeah, down a weird hill.
Falls down and his hat gets taken away by a car.
It's gone. It's either buried in the mud or just it disappeared. It was great. And he walks into the...
You know, what's it called? Magnificent Rent-A-Car or something like that.
Something like that. The rental car counter.
It starts with an M, and Edie McClurg is there. She's wonderful.
Yes, and she's having a conversation with somebody on the phone, having a good time. Yeah.
Have a good turkey day.
She asks how she can help him. And this is where we have 18 F-bombs in a minute.
In an otherwise clean movie.
Mostly, yeah.
There's no other reason this would be an R-rated movie, except for this scene. But John Hughes refused to cut it.
And it's so worth it, and that's why I'm going to put it in here.
Here we go.
You can start by wiping that f***ing dumbass smile off your rosy f***ing cheeks. Then you can give me a f***ing automobile, a f***ing Datsun f***ing Toyota, a f***ing Mustang, a f***ing Buick, four f***ing wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of nowhere with keys to a car that isn't there. And I really didn't care to walk down a highway and across a runway to get back here to have you smile at my face. I want a car right now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're...
Evie is amazing. Her reaction at the end, do you have your rental agreement?
This is kind of a win for anybody who's worked a job like that, though.
Okay, since I bleep so much, I'm going to say this. Neil is an incredible prick.
Yeah.
So he walks out and tries to get a cab. And he's incredibly rude to the guy that's working the taxi stand.
Just right off the bat, for no reason.
And he says, if I want a joke, I'd follow you into the John and watch you take a leak.
Yeah.
Great insult.
It is good.
One other line gets him just punched and he gets knocked out into the street.
And Dell comes up in his green rental car and almost murders him.
Yeah, the family truckster almost runs him over.
Yeah. And then he gets out and he's like, you know, we gotta help this man. And he was like, sure thing. And picks him up by the nuts, yeah.
It kind of works, but it's a little overdone.
It's a juvenile kind of dumb joke, especially the next scene with the high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
The vocal change is obnoxious to me. It's weird and just kind of like a little bit odd for the movie.
The next scene, we've got Neil driving, and Dell's a passenger, and he's playing with the electric seat.
Yeah, the auto seat.
And he gets it right, but then he can't reach his feet.
Yeah, Neil the whole time is like, you're going to break it.
And then the next scene, we've got Dell driving and Neil in it, and you broke it.
Right.
It wasn't broken when I was in it. Nice little arguments between them constantly.
All right, Neil puts his wallet in the glove box. Don't let me forget it.
Everything in that movie, you could say, oh, a lot of people would do that. But that's something I wouldn't do.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that either.
I put all my stuff in one spot. Like, if I've got a bag or a briefcase, it all goes in it.
Generally, when I'm traveling just because of TSA... I wear a jacket, and everything goes into the pocket of one jacket. That's like a fun travel tip, too. Your wallet, everything, just into the pocket of the jacket, because then you just take off your jacket, put it on the x-ray thing.
Right.
And you're good. Because I go back and forth because I smoke. If I have like an hour layover, I'm going to do it. Like I've done the hour layover in like O'Hare and like all these airports they were at. And yeah, you just, you can walk right out, but on the way back in, just take off the jacket. You're good. Like,
so you go out, have a 5 minute smoke and get back in an hour long line for TSA?
Exactly. Yeah. I've done it.
Fun.
Yeah, so then we have the classic mess around scene. Neil's sleeping and Del is listening to the mess around.
An earlier fight in the car, Neil's talking about how annoying Del is.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Del goes to point out one of his flaws.
Yeah, you play with your nuts a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And says, you know what I like? Two more balls and an extra set of fingers.
That's it, yeah. That's great. So the mess around is going down. And, great scene. He's having a blast. And this is when the cigarette fire starts in the back?
Not yet. He goes to throw the cigarette out the window and it goes
blows
in the back seat.
Yeah, blows into the back and seat. So it's smoldering
starts
back
to get
there.
Warm, so he takes off his jacket. Or tries to.
Yeah.
And then tries to kill him with no hands.
This is where he goes off and goes back on the wrong way.
Yes, he goes off and then spins out and ends up back on the freeway the wrong way.
Right. Neil wakes up. Well, it's warm in here. You should take off your jacket.
Yeah, he's like, is everything okay? Yeah, I almost hit a deer. And are you all right? You should take off your jacket.
And this is where we have the wrong way scene, which is amazing. You're going the wrong way. How do they know which way?
Oh, they're drunk.
Or where do they say they're going?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But, oh, they're drunk.
Yeah, I love this. They're laughing and doing, like, drinking motion.
And then Neil slowly realizes there's a divider between them and looks up and sees the trucks. And
yeah, that's
got
great.
The skeleton slash Satan scene as they're going between
the
trucks.
Yeah, John Candy is the devil laughing at him. It's just little scenes like that where they had John Candy do full makeup and an outfit change for 1 second of screen time.
Right here, did they die? Is the rest of this just...
I mean, maybe.
It's purgatory till they finally make it to heaven?
Well, I mean, if it all was positive after this, I'd be like, oh yeah, maybe this has some merit and they died here. But it's kind of more of the same from here on out, so
well,
I don't think
are these
so.
The tests to see if they deserve it? See if Neil deserves it.
I'm not on board with this. So they get out and they're inspecting the damage, and Del is very positive.
Has to take his fingers out of the dash because he's dug them into the dash. Del broke the steering wheel. Del starts laughing.
Yeah, we can laugh about it now. But yeah, he's talking about, oh, they can buff that out or whatever, and Neil's laughing about, like, you finally done it to yourself, and that's when Del...
Well, that's after the fire starts.
Right.
So they go get the stuff off the road, and they sit on the trunk, and the fire starts.
Yeah, and that's when he's like, you finally did it to
My
yourself.
Question is here is, how do they get to the right side of the road?
Yeah, good question.
Did they go past the luggage and finally turn around and come... I don't know. It's just, they're all of a sudden, they're on the right side of the road, going the right direction, and the car's on fire.
Yeah, and this is when Del admits that he rented the car with Neil's card.
Yeah, because Neil's laughing. You did it to yourself.
Right.
Not actually.
And the car fire, Neil's wallet is in there, so that burns up.
He tells him he put it in his wallet while he was sleeping in the car.
Yeah.
Neil punches Del and then trips on the trunk, and then they're back in the car driving.
Yep, this toasty, warm, smoldering car.
You shouldn't have punched me. That's how Houdini died.
Yeah, I love that line.
Neil asks for one room at this motel they go into. Need a major credit card. And he pulls out his tiny melted cards and the guy won't accept them. That guy's another great actor.
Yeah, he is. A great character actor. The cards are like shrink-eating size.
Yeah, that's great. He says, you gotta help me. I've been wearing the same underwear since Tuesday. And Del in the background, I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
And so, he offers him $17. The guy says no.
$17 and his watch.
Then he goes for $17 and a good watch. So he goes to a room. The guy took the offer. And Del gives the... grin and just tries to make a deal for $2 and a Casio.
Right.
And tries to sell up the Casio with the whole displaying it on his wrist and a good trying to be a salesman scene.
Why didn't he offer him like a deal on shower curtain rings?
I don't know.
He's
maybe,
got his little fold out wallet thing with shower curtain rings.
When he was scamming people.
I mean, he might not have them on them, but he could be like, I'm Del Griffith, I sell shower curtain rings. Plus, I'm a great salesman. Tell you what, I'm going to offer you a great deal. I'll outfit this whole place with shower curtain rings for you if you just let me have a night.
The guy did say he didn't own the place.
Yeah, good point.
So you see Neil in a room with two beds. He goes to try to call his wife, but there's a lock on the phone. And you see Del trying to sleep in the car. And this is where he talks to his wife and just has a little heart-to-heart with himself, kind of.
This is like a dead giveaway that she's dead.
Yeah, if you're not thinking that, this is... You just... He misses his wife, so he's talking to her.
Right. And it starts to snow, and he's just like... sad sack out there.
He says, I'm the biggest pain in the butt. And then Neil is kind again for a moment and lets him in.
Yeah, this is where they finally bro down. They're just getting drunk together and
they have a
good time.
Del does a great Jamaican accent as they're talking about the different alcohol they're doing. He's going to have some rum, so he's going to Jamaica.
It's awesome. Neil's having awesome tequila, foreshadowing, so he's going to Mexico. For Cool Runnings.
Yeah. And Neil says, at the very least, you have a woman you love that you get to grow old with. Del just kind of grins and nods and moves on. And then Neil says something about how he's unique, and Del says, what's unique? Latin for apple?
Yeah, like that.
That was good.
This is almost like Sixth Sense. Like, once you see it once, and you know the reveal, everything is, like, painfully obvious.
I hope you've seen this already, because we're spoiling the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, up yours. You should have watched this, like, 12 years ago, at least.
Well, I hadn't seen it until last year, 2 years
really?
Ago. Really? No, maybe 2.5, 3 years ago.
Man, I used to watch this a lot.
I don't know how I missed it, because I've seen most of these movies.
This is a weird one for me, because this was, like, a go-to, like, get stoned and watch a movie for me.
Really?
It's a weird choice, but it's a delightfully funny movie, and Owen and all these, like...
I would think Delirious would be better for that.
It probably would be, but I didn't have a copy of Delirious at the time.
They're trying to get out, and the car has been...
Yeah, it's kind of snowed in.
They plowed around it or something, and it's just snowed in. Del's trying to drive it while Neil's trying to push it from the side in a weird... snowbank.
Weird choice, but...
And then they decide to try to rock it, so Neil goes to the front and push it backwards, and Del drives it into the room.
And they just take off. No credit card, no harm, no foul, right?
They just...
Screw that guy for not
Neil
giving
waves
Del room.
Out and jumps in the car, and they take off.
And the car is an amazing wreck. It's hilarious. But they get pulled over by Michael McKean. There's some great lines when they're pulled over by the highway patrolman, like, do you know how fast you're going? Oh, it's a funny thing. I was just talking to my friend Neil here. The odometer is melted, you know?
Yeah, but he got 78, and they're driving on a donut and two wobbling tires that are wobbling like crazy.
Yeah, I love that with the 78, though. He's like, wow.
They impound the car, and Neil's standing outside of a police station, and Del shows up in a semi. And the driver of the semi is another great actor.
Yeah,
I don't
know
him, but...
tons of character actors in this.
He's got a thing about people riding in the cab, and just reaches over freaking out and, like, closes the cab.
Yeah.
And they're in the refrigerated truck, and they're going to be there for at least 3 hours.
Truckers call him a reefer.
Okay.
Driving a reefer. So, and yeah, they're riding in the truck, and they get to the subway in Chicago.
I don't know if it's the subway.
The L train or whatever.
Something. I don't know what they call it in Chicago.
Yes, I think it's the L train.
But they're at the station, and they say their goodbyes.
On the platform.
Yes. As the train's pulling in. So Neil leaves, and he's relieved, and then we get this amazing scene.
It
starts with some
best,
touching,
like,
music.
Thinking about stuff scene ever filmed.
It's a perfect, like, this is what he's thinking, and it's not like...
You can follow his train of thought. It's brilliant.
Yes, it cuts back and forth between what he's thinking and his reaction to it.
Right.
And you see the emotion on his face, and this is where Steve Martin's amazing.
Yeah.
Because he can do these amazing emotions.
Yeah.
Just like John Candy does throughout.
Yeah.
You see him go from, oh, I'm so glad I'm going to see my family. I get to see my kids. I get to see my wife. A turkey dinner.
Right.
The candlelit dinner. Oh, remember when Del did that?
Yeah. And then he slowly puts it together.
I was yelling at him.
I haven't been home in years.
Yeah. The memories of what Del was saying.
So long, dental plan. Lisa needs braces. Dental plan.
Okay. Simpsons. Yeah, that was kind of like that. But
right.
And next scene, you have him show him at the same station.
Yeah, he shows up there, and Del's just sitting there.
And this is where he gets Del to admit that he doesn't have a home.
What was Del going to do for Thanksgiving? Was he just going to sit there?
He was probably just in between places where he was going to sell stuff.
Yeah, so just sit there for Thanksgiving, wait for the holiday to be over?
Yeah, but now that he doesn't have anything, how is he going to get by? Was he just going to be a homeless guy in Chicago now?
For 3 days?
Not just 3 days, forever. How was he going to get to his next town where he was going to sell stuff?
Yeah,
unless
he had
appointments in Chicago already.
I mean, there was a reason he was going to Chicago.
So he probably has places he's going to visit in Chicago to sell.
Yeah.
But...
what level of broke is he? Does he have a bank account that he just couldn't get stuff out of?
He had to swindle people for $100 to eat and get where they were.
So his cash was gone, but his cards were gone, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have cards anymore.
So, I mean...
well, he might, but his diner's club, if he swapped it back out with Neil...
so why is he just sitting there?
He has nowhere to go.
He has to have a mailing address in order to have those credit cards.
Yeah.
And surely he's got a bank account.
Yeah, but that could be P.O. boxes and stuff. And his business address. Wherever his
I'm sure he didn't have all of his inventory on him.
No, he's got a company that supplies him. So
right.
He goes and they drop ship it probably.
Huh. How sad is his life?
I don't know, but that scene, it looks incredibly sad. And at that moment when they're that broke that they had to ride in the back of a truck.
Yeah, I've always been curious, like, what level of bum is he? How down on his luck is he? Does he have a home that he just doesn't go to?
No, in this he admits he has no home.
Oh, right. So he just got rid of everything to just live on the road. So he would have something,
could this be
though?
The end of his savings, everything he got from selling his home?
Well, maybe.
And selling everything he owned? Is all he has left is that trunk and his bank account's now empty?
Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah.
So he's not a good salesman, and he's just not been great. Living on the road, and he's just finally lost it all?
Maybe.
So is he moving in with the Pages? Because that's another hilarious movie.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
And he also admits that Marie's been dead for 8 years here, finally. This is the final reveal where he tells it.
Yeah. And one more reveal. She's in this trunk.
That would be awful. But then you get the great, triumphant Del and Neil walking down the street.
Carrying the suitcase together. Them. Yeah.
And they walk up to the house, and Del says, Neil, you're a lucky man. He introduces the entire family. Neil's father-in-law is somebody I recognize. I didn't recognize anybody else.
Yeah, me either.
His wife is up at the top of the stairs, like, almost crying
already. Weird moment.
And it's like they haven't seen each other in years. When it sounded like he had just gone out of town for this trip.
Yeah, like, he does this a lot.
But it's not like he was gone for a month.
Mrs. Page kind of seems like a bitch to me. She seems like if Neil hadn't made it home, it would have been a problem.
I don't know. She seemed emotional, not angry.
Yeah, at that point, because it was like, oh, he made it home, yeah, but...
She seemed a little bothered when he was going to be late.
Right.
The second time. But when he told her he was staying with another guy in some hotel, she just seemed a little annoyed, not, like, upset. Like, if
like
she
their
was,
marriage is over.
If he, she was awful.
He makes it a habit of hooking up with strange men and...
No, it she just seemed, like, confused and weird. It didn't seem like right. She was that upset. If it was somebody else, I could expect, oh, wow, this guy, he's cheating on me.
But right.
It's not a guy, it's a girl. Or maybe
yeah,
it is a guy,
like,
but he's cheating on me.
There's trust there, but...
But it's just, she's way too emotional for just a trip to New York.
Yeah.
And a couple delayed flights.
For a meeting.
Like, yeah.
How long was he there? When was that meeting? Was
two it days a, before Thanksgiving.
So it was a Tuesday.
Yes.
Because he mentions, I've been wearing the same underwear since Tuesday. So he's probably been gone since Monday, maybe?
Probably.
Or flew out there Sunday night, like a lot of people will do.
Worst case scenario, moved or flew out on Friday to have the weekend to get ready for their meeting on Tuesday.
That's a little bit overdramatic.
Yeah, it is. Way overdramatic.
Yeah.
Even with all the weird delays.
Yeah. And then the end of the movie with the wonderful freeze frame.
The best freeze frame ending ever.
Every movie should end with that freeze frame.
This beats Breakfast Club.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 ends with freeze frame of John Candy's smiling face.
That'd be awesome. I mean, that freeze frame is just a great, especially for this movie. It's just, it's his emotions constantly throughout the movie, and then how genuine that smile is, and how happy he was, and it's just a great result.
It's the best John Hughes film, I think. And yeah, it's up there with... definitely top three for me in John Candy movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This freeze frame is better than Breakfast Club, but that's like number two.
The
on
John
the list.
Bender fist in the air, the
yeah.
Black Power.
Yeah.
So great movie.
Yeah, I was really happy with it. I enjoyed this one.
What do we got next?
She's Having a Baby.
I thought that might be next. Got that and then Great Outdoors, right?
Yep. And then Hot to Trot.
Nice.
I hope we can find it. That's going to be hard.
I don't know if I remember much of She's Having a Baby. I know it's been a long time since I've seen it, so this will be an interesting one to revisit.
I remember very little of it.
Same here. It's probably been a decade since I've seen it.
Is this one where he's not credited?
He shows up at the end as his character from The Great Outdoors.
But does he have is he credited?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So we could skip it if we want. No. No, I'm looking forward to doing it. It'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, who knows? You know, Kevin Bacon's great, so.
Yeah, with Great Outdoors, Hot to Trot, Who's Harry Crumb, Cannonball Fever, Uncle Buck. We're on the home stretch. This is amazing stuff.
Yeah, and then we'll have, like, what's the biker movie?
I don't remember.
There's a couple of wild cards, so who knows?
We've got JFK, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Way off topic for what we're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Well, so happy Thanksgiving from us at Popcorn with Candy, and... So, I'll see you next episode.
Yeah, check out our Facebook and visit our website, popcornwith.com.
Or check out our Twitter at popcorn_with. I hope you wake up so stiff. That's a callback, guys. That's a line in the movie.
They should get that one.
Yeah. All right, well, happy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles Day if you're Canadian, because you've already had Thanksgiving. That's basically what they call Thanksgiving Day, because... this movie comes on.
Okay.
So, I got a lot of ground to make up with the Canadian listeners, I swear. All right, I love you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. 'Cause I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.